Thank you, James. I want to share with you guys today a story from the Bible, but it's not really about the story. It's about us. It's about the pause that we go through sometimes in life. It's about us meeting God, knowing and having a word from God, and then we feel like He is a little late, or we feel like it's not really working, or we feel like whatever feeling, like, you know, this is not really, it's too late, or God, where are you? These questions, you know what I'm talking about? So this is what I want to talk to you about. And we can find the story in the Bible. You find it in, you can find it in Mark chapter 5, you can find it in Luke, you can find it in many places, and it's about the Jesus raising a dead girl. And she was the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue leader. And I'm going to read it, starting verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, Jesus was there, then left, and you can find it in Mark 5. Okay, Jesus was there, and then left, crossed the sea, and then healed the man who was possessed by demons, and then came back. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from... And this is my message today. I want you to focus on this verse, these couple of verses. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead." He said, "Do not bother the teacher anymore." I'm going to read this again. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Do not bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." I'm going to read this one more time because this is the second message. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." Okay, here's another message from Jesus. She is not dead, she is asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. I love it how we sometimes know more than God. Right? They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, and we want to listen to you. We don't want to listen to anyone else. People bring us news of death. People bring us disappointment. People bring us nothing but pain. But we want to listen to you. We want to listen to your voice. We want to listen to your message this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here it is. Jesus comes back, steps out of the boat, and... She made it. He steps out of the boat, and people are waiting for him, welcoming him, expecting him to come. Okay? It's kind of a different reaction from he were a few minutes before or a few hours before. He went to this little city, a man that was possessed, and he healed him, but people got really upset with Jesus because they lost a few pigs. Okay? The pigs were a lot more important to them than the human, you know, the man that was there. So he comes back and people are welcoming him and expecting him and expecting something from him. Whatever he does, they're just expecting something from him. And I want to start with this. I am really glad and I'm really blessed that every time we step into this church, he is welcomed. Every time we come here, I know that I am expecting something because he's been here before. He comes and he shows up every time, and this time is not going to be any difference. This whole week, the enemy kept telling me this is going to be the worst message that this church will ever hear. Seriously. Just expect that. Okay? And I even called Albert and I complained to him. and he said, tell him you're a liar because he tells me that every week. So I took what he said and I used it. And I am coming back today expecting just like you are expecting. Because I am, and this church, everyone here is welcoming God. And when we welcome him, something happens. When we welcome him, we will find something new today. So they were welcoming God. They were welcoming Jesus. And you expect that someone who's blind will scream out. Someone who is, you know, lame. Someone whose head was leprosy, whatever. To call him. And these are the people that we hear about all the time. But if you zoom in, you'll find a synagogue leader. You know, this man had a really high position. You wouldn't expect someone like that to come in the midst of all the crowds and kneel and hold on to Jesus' feet saying, please help me. But his need was so great that he forgot about his title, he forgot about his position, he forgot about everything and just came kneeling to Jesus' feet and saying, help me, I need help right now. He needs help because his daughter is about to die. In another version, it says that she was at her last breath. She was almost gone. And you know, looking at the miracles that are mentioned in the Bible, 5 or 6 times it mentions that a father or someone brought Jesus because their child was about to die, or their child is sick, or their child is already dead. Philip shared something with me a few weeks ago that kind of made me think about a lot of things. He said, there's a saying, I guess, that says, if 2 people come to you and say, where is your head? You better go check in the mirror.
Sudanese?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know it was Sudanese. But anyway, if 2 people come to you and mention something to you, you might want to check. And this is 5 times the Bible is mentioning that people came to Jesus running because their children or their child has been hit with something. To me, that's a warning for every father here or every father and mother to be. Because the enemy is after our children. He is after that generation. While Jesus says, bring those children to me, sometimes we take an easy way of bringing things to the children. But Jesus always said, bring those children to me. I'm a little happy, I'm very happy that he did that. It took a lot of humility for him to come, but you know what? It's his daughter, and it is his only daughter. And I pray that we would deal with whatever situation we have as this is it. This is the moment. Okay? There is no tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So I pray whatever situation you have or I have, I pray that we would deal with it and this is it. This is the 4th quarter. Last 2 seconds, you better take that shot. Okay? Don't be a LeBron. Don't pass. Just shoot it. Sorry, James. So anyway, so this is it. The last second. He has to come and he has to bring Jesus home. He has to take him home with him. It would have been nice if he visited Jesus 2 days before. Because she wouldn't be there. She wouldn't be at that last moment. But he waited. And I don't want us to wait. I don't want us to wait for our children. I don't want us to wait for our lives. I don't want us to wait for anything that's keeping us. Let's bring it today. And again, this message is not about raising a dead girl only. This message is about raising a lot of things inside of us. This message is about raising the man of God and the woman of God that He created us to be. This is what this message is about. So, he gets a hold of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything is good. But then something happens where he stops. And that stop, I think, is one of the most dangerous moments of all of us as Christians. That little pause where we're trying to rush God into our situation, he stops for a moment. It's so painful. So painful. And we have so many different feelings that I do not have space to write or have. I don't have time to talk about it. But I'm going to mention a few things, if you allow me. He receives the message. He receives the message. Let me read the verse again. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" They gave him the news. It's over. She's dead. I have a few problems with this message. And this is my message. The problems I have with the message is my message. Okay? You guys get it? You sure you want me to translate for you? The first problem that I have with this message is they evaluated the situation without Jesus being there. Jesus hasn't made it yet. He hasn't touched the girl. He hasn't entered the house. How can you give a correct and accurate report without God being in the picture? Try it. It will be wrong every time. It never worked. It never worked for me. I know it never worked for me. Every time I try to make a report or put a plan and God is not there, it never works. It never did and it will never work. In Numbers chapter 13, there comes a really cool story. Now that the Israelites are out of Egypt, right? God tells Moses, choose one man from each tribe, send them to the land I am giving to you. Okay? I am giving you this land. Just send them to scout the land. Actually, the word is explore the land. Like you're a tourist. Just go take a look at the land. Okay? Everything is good so far? Right? He didn't ask him to do anything but just taking a look at that land. Moses sends the people. They go and they forget about God's promise. They forget that God has given them the land. Okay? And listen to what they come back and say. "We seemed like grasshoppers." Where? "In our own eyes." Okay? Let me read you the exact verse. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Let me tell you something. The way you look at yourself, the world will look at you. If you think you're a grasshopper, then you're a grasshopper. If you think you're a giant in God's name, then you're a giant. Without God's evaluation, every little rock will become a mountain that you cannot climb. Okay? With God's evaluation, every mountain shall become what? Valley that you can just walk through. You put God in the report, everything becomes possible. You take God out of the report, everything becomes impossible. It's that simple. And guess what they did? They went out and spread. The Bible said they spread the bad report among all people. Except one of them. One of them said, "Let's just get up and take it." His name is Caleb. He said, "Let's just get up and take the land." It's like, let me give you this because we're in Christmas, okay? I'm not going to use Nancy because she returns all of her gifts. So if I buy a gift for Dina, okay? So if I buy a gift for Dina, and she looks at the gift, like, "This is your birthday gift, right?" She looks at the gift and she goes, "No, this is too expensive." And I'm like, "Try it, enjoy it." She goes, "No, this is too expensive. We can't afford this. This is too much." And no, it's a gift. It's already given to you. Use it. This is what God told them. I have already given you the land. Take it. But because they looked at themselves, they took God out of the picture. When God's in the picture, every little rock will become a mountain. And every mountain, if He is in the picture, will become a straight road. In 1 Samuel, there's another story, but it's actually the opposite of that. You know the story of David and Goliath? The story of David and Goliath. David hears about Goliath, who's been, you know, cursing and cussing the people of God 40 days and 40 nights, and no one can stop him, right? David saw that and was like, what are they doing? He is no giant. What is David doing? David has God in his thoughts. David is seeing the picture through God, not through Goliath's. I'm going to tell you something right now that will surprise you. But let me read this to you. 1 Samuel 17. David is talking to King Saul. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. He was telling him how David was one time taking care of the sheep, and then a lion and a bear attacked him, and David was able to kill the lion and the bear and save his little, you know, little sheep. Okay? Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Palestine will be like one of them, because he, listen to this, he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Palestine. He is not looking at Goliath here. He is looking at God first. Continue reading with me. Verse Samuel still. Now David looks up, you know, Saul was like, well, somebody has to fight him. I'm not fighting him, okay? So if you want to fight him, go ahead. You know, be my guest. That's right. And he puts on his armor, and David was like, nah, this is old-fashioned. I'm just going to go like this, right? So he goes in, and listen to what happens. Listen to this very carefully, please. Now we're talking about Goliath. So you saw how David saw Goliath. David saw Goliath as nothing. Who are you? Who is this guy? Okay, why are you scared of him? He is nothing. Listen to what Goliath looks, how Goliath looks at David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. And he despised him. He said to David, listen to this, I love this. Am I a dog that you are coming at me with sticks? Did David ever call him a dog? Did David say any words to him? But David is walking in full of health, handsome, you know, the music in the background, his hair is glowing, you know, attractive guy, all the girls are going crazy. Okay, he's walking in and very calm, very confident, right? Who is the one that's tripping and going crazy? Goliath. The giant is going crazy, calling himself what? A dog. Calling himself a dog. See, that barking you've been hearing for 40 days and 40 nights, that's a leashed dog. He is nothing but that. Because in God's vision, who is he? See, if you bring God to your report, it will make all the difference. Amen. You cannot believe someone that coming to tell you she is dead because God, Jesus, is not there yet. And until he comes there, until he gets to that place, it does not matter what they say. Amen. It does not matter. I have another problem because it puts limits to God's ability. They told him, don't bring Jesus anymore because she is dead. You're welcome to bring him if she was still alive and because he can heal her. We know that he can heal, right? And that's that half belief that a lot of us have. You know, we believe that God can do certain things, but cannot do other things. You know, he can, if he blesses me with this job, then I'm going to have security. But what if he doesn't give you this job, but he will give you security? If he blesses me with this relationship, I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life and live, what is it? Happily, that Disney thing, you know? But what if he doesn't bless you with that, but he still makes you live happily ever after. Thanks, Javi. Why do we put limits to God? Things cannot limit God. God can limit things. In Job 38:11, who, he's asking, who told the sea, this far you can come and no more? He is the one that ordered the seas to come this far and no more. One time, he just looked at the waves that are just crashing everyone and said, be quiet. You're annoying me. Be quiet. He didn't say that. He just said, be quiet. Okay? He said, be quiet. It obeyed. And another time, he tells that ocean or that sea, split wide open because my people gotta go. Twice. He can. He limited the ocean. He limited the sea. The sea never limited him. The disciples were supposed to cross to the other side. They crossed. The Israelis were supposed to cross the Red Sea. They crossed. They were supposed to cross the Jordan. What happened? They crossed. And this is nothing different. God cannot be limited. He can heal and he can raise the dead.
Yes.
Even if the dead has been in the grave for how many days? 4 days, 6 days, whatever it is, he can still bring life out of this. God cannot be limited. So that's my second issue with this. But here is my big, big issue with this statement. They said, do not bother the teacher. Is God bothered by our prayers? Is God bothered by our requests? If we keep calling on him, is he bothered by it? This is a heart that has no idea of God's heart. This is a statement that never ever experienced God's heart. God does not get bothered by our requests or our prayers or our us calling on him to get involved. He never gets bothered by that. That's a statement completely away from God's heart. And that's my biggest issue with this statement. That's my biggest issue when we receive that statement in our life. Because it comes often, right? God is not there for you. God is allowing this because you have done this and this and this. God is not, God doesn't love you enough. Or God doesn't care. You fill in the blank. You've heard them all, right? I've heard them all. You fill in the blank. And we feel like God lost the compassion for us. But he never did. Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and full, I love that word, full of compassion. Full of compassion. He never gets bothered. He never gets angry when we call him. Matter of fact, he said, I delight with you. I delight with you. So call me, talk to me. Okay? It's not bothering me at all. You know, sometimes as parents, when you have your child saying, Mom, 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 there you are, there you go. Or Dad, I'm like, what? You know what? God doesn't do that. We do, but God doesn't do that. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? They might. They might. But let me tell you, I will not. I always have compassion on you. I always have compassion on them. So this is the first message. The second message is very simple. Jesus looked at him and said, don't be afraid. She'll be healed. Don't be afraid. She'll be healed. In this message, Jesus doesn't condemn him for being afraid. And that's a key point, I think, we need to understand. God doesn't get angry with us or upset with us when we are normal, okay? Or when we feel fear, or when we worry. God doesn't get angry with that, okay? God doesn't get upset with that. Matter of fact, guess what the Bible said in Isaiah? He is the one that took that hard stone and give you what? Hard flesh. He wants you to feel. He expects you to feel. He told you that you're going to feel. He told you that you're going to feel. He doesn't condemn Jairus for being afraid. He just told him, do not be afraid. I'm here with you. And when he says, do not be afraid, he has the reasons and he has the resume and he has the ability to back up his words. So he told them, do not be afraid, she will be healed. And the same message is for you and for me. Do not be afraid, it will get fixed. Do not be afraid, it will be taken care of. God expects or knows that we are going to go through some darkness. Does that happen to you? It happens to me. Sometimes there are dark times, right? But here's the trick. I cannot live in those dark times, okay? And I cannot think that I'm blind. No, I still have my eyes. Okay, I might not be seeing right now, but once I cross, I will see. This dark time, that's not my spot. That's not my place. Sooner or later, I will move forward. Do not rejoice over me, if my enemy. If I fall, I will rise. If I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be my light. Okay? God expects, and we know, we expect. He didn't lie to us. He said, in this world, you will have what? Troubles and tribulations. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world. I'm trying to rush. During this pause, I want you to pay attention to this, because I think it will help us a lot. During this pause, during the messages that you're listening to, it's a choice that we're going to make. Either to listen to God or listen to the other report. And as I told you, I have so many problems with that other report. But during this pause, let's try to keep our eyes and ears focused on Jesus. Because the more we look outside, the more we look away from Him, the harder it will be to believe His report. Let's keep going with Him. The journey started right after He left the boat. And He is coming to my house. But He stopped for a second. You know what? He knows His timing. He has His plan. Continue that journey. Continue the journey with Him. Do not say, it didn't work. I put my faith and trust in someone that didn't really deliver for me. Keep going. Keep pushing forward. Keep going, because He will get there. He will get there. Keeping our eyes and ears on Jesus. But number two, strengthen your faith with what Jesus is doing around you. So when you feel like this pause is getting a hold of you and you're starting to lose faith, and you're what's happening in my life, stop focusing on your life and look around. Guess what Jesus was doing? He had this woman who was bleeding for 12 years. The Bible said that she was suffering so much, and she spent everything, and she is done. She is absolutely done. Her days are numbered. So instead of listening to the guys that are saying she is dead, I'm going to choose to look at what Jesus is doing in somebody else's life and praise Him for that, and trust that what the same power and ability that He is, that He has to change her life and His life, He can use the same for me. He can use the same power to change my situation. Take your eyes of your situation and pray for others. How about that? For a change. You know what? I invited Him. He's coming. That's it. That's all that I need to do. But guess what? Some people could be going through the same thing that I'm going through. For a change, why don't we focus on those people a little bit? Because God is not allowing whatever you're going through just because, you know, today, Friday night, I don't have anything to do, so let me just ruin His life. You know, God doesn't do that. Okay? He's allowing it for a reason. And one of those reasons, that He wants to soften our hearts a little bit towards other people. He wants us to feel what other people are feeling so we can relate to them. And we can relate to what they're doing. Listen to one of these amazing stories in the Bible. It's in Mark 4:37. Jesus was preaching using one of the boats, right? And then it's Mark 4:36. Leaving the crowd behind. Listen carefully to this coming part. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along, the disciples, just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. There were what? Other boats with Him. Let's forward to verse 39. when the disciples woke him up and said, "Don't you care about us? We're about to drown. Okay, do something." Jesus got up and did what? He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely what? Calm. Let me ask you a question. When the wind was completely calm and they had boats with them, was the wind, was only their boat affected by it, or all the other boats? All the other boats. See, sometimes what we want, when our boat gets a little bit rocky, "Lord, change my boat to a submarine. Lord, change my boat to one of those, you know, airplane carriers. I want my boat to have this supernatural power that the boat will fly," or something like that. All of our focus is on our boat, while God is trying to calm the whole sea, that all the boats can enjoy that calmness for a minute. You get that? So when you're going through some hard times, please look around you. Not just to enjoy others' testimony that will strengthen your faith, but also look at those who are still struggling with you in the same boat, in the same area, at the same lake, same place, so you can be a blessing to them. But here's the difference. You have Jesus on your boat, they don't. So it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to wake him up so he can calm the whole sea for everyone. Amen. It is our responsibility. During that pause, please know that it's not just going to be your daughter that's going to be healed. I call this the triple blessing, you know, because it's not just your daughter that's receiving the healing. Your daughter is receiving the healing. The other daughter is receiving the healing, and you are receiving the healing. It's not just one, it's three. So it might have been the weight. When you look back right now, you might look back and say, "It's worth it. It's worth it," because my focus was on one thing: Lord, give me the bride. Lord, give me the groom. Lord, give me the job. Lord, give me the ministry. Lord, give me this and this and this and this. And that pause happens, and at the end of it, you look back. Oh no, he didn't just give me that. He gave me this. The other daughter was healed, and I am healed. And I am changed. After all, God is after transforming our hearts and our minds and our lives to be more and more and more like him. So that pause could be that reason and that way, the way for that blessing to reach that part right here. The pause is not that bad when you look back at it. It's not that bad. You know, it seems bad while we're going through it. But if we keep holding on to him, if we keep focusing on him, we're going to look back and say, "Thank you for waiting." Whew. Do I have time? Or I do? Okay. I want to talk to you about life now. Okay? He reaches the house. And, of course, the house is full of people that know more than God, right? I mean, that's they're Middle Eastern. Oh, by the way, all Middle Easterners know about everything more than anyone else. So, and especially medicine, theology, and politics. We know more than anyone. And sports, of course. Argentinians too. Jesus looks at the child and says, Why is everyone crying? Why is everyone wailing and mourning? She is not dead, but asleep." So they laughed at him, of course. And I want to talk to you about the death certificates that we keep issuing. You know, we walk around with a huge folder full of death certificates. "Huh, you don't look nice to me. You're not good to me today. Ah, she's dead. Here. Z! No, you see, you're good." So you keep going around one by one issuing death certificates. It happened there. It happened in Mark 9. It happened the story of Lazarus. When Jesus received the message, and he told the disciples that he's asleep. You call it dead. I call it asleep. You call it impossible. I call it, I'm just going to wake him up. It's that simple. How hard is it to wake someone up? It's not that hard, right? Let me give you the quote of the day. Are you ready? It's just you really have to work hard to get this. It's so smart and so deep. If every time you bury someone who's asleep, humanity will end in probably a week. I saw most of you yesterday, right? How many of you fell asleep? How many? How many had a good sleep? We all fell asleep, right? We all had, we got two teenagers in the back that didn't go to sleep. So, will you sleep today? If every time we bury someone who's asleep, humanity will not exist anymore. You know where I'm going with this, right? You see where I'm going? Good. And if every time we look at someone and judge them and say they're done, Christianity will not exist anymore. And if you don't believe me, ask that thief on the cross. Because his life was a few minutes away from being over. But he still had a chance. God does not issue death certificates. We do. And it's something that we must stop. We must stop. We must know that he knows a lot more and much more than we do. The child is not dead, but she is asleep. In Mark 9, there is also a young man who is possessed by demons. And those demons often threw him in the fire, in the water, and trying to kill that man. The father also brought him to the disciples. The disciples said, couldn't heal him. Jesus came to the picture. And again, when he's not in the picture, don't take any reports. Unless he comes, then when he puts his stamp, this is when you believe it. Without his stamp, do not believe anything, because it's going to be a lie or inaccurate. Jesus healed the boy, but the boy fainted. Guess what people said? Guess what they all said? He's dead. He's dead. Do you think Jesus kills people? Do you see what they're saying? They're saying that he is dead. That means Jesus killed him, because at that time he was still alive. But they said he's dead. Does he kill? He came to give life. He came to give life to everyone. But here's another thing that might be a little bit touchy. While Jairus, but please listen to me and hear me out on this. While Jairus went looking for Jesus to bring him home, his household went and hired wailers and mourners. When you and your wife, or you and your household, okay, have an issue, you must agree together. You must agree in faith together. Otherwise, one person will go looking for Jesus and the other one will be hiring the wailers and whining about it all day and all night, and it will not work. Both of them has got to get together and agree that we have a way out of this. We have a way out of this. He looked at the girl and took her by the hand, and he said, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And she got up. She got up. If you look back at what they said, if you look back at the report that we talked about, if you look back at every situation you had in your life and in my life, who had the last word? That's my question. Who had the last word? Every time he had the last word. And today I want us to say that. I want us today to say that to our relatives. I want us to say that to our friends. I want us to say that to ourselves. Because guess what? There might be a dead preacher inside that's been asleep for a while. There might be a sleeping pastor inside that's been sleeping for a while, but we can get him up. There might be a sleeping whatever you call it. There might be someone who's asleep right here that we need to get up. We need to tell him, get up. And with his approval, with his stamp, now his hands are here with us, he will get up. She will get up. And finally, he told them, give her something to eat. I did my part. My part is to give her life. But you parents, you pastors, you servants, you have a small part here. Give them something to eat. Because they need to eat. She probably hasn't eaten in a while. They have to eat. Somebody has got to feed them. Somebody has got to offer something for them to live on. And the only thing that can make us survive in this life is what? The Word of God. We can try everything and anything, it does not work. The only thing we can survive by is the Word of God. The pause is not that bad. It seems harsh, but it's not. As long as we have our eyes focused on Him. One thing that I will leave you with. Please do not take any report from anyone. Only take the reports that are stamped by Him. If you are building a house and you have someone puts some drawings on it and the blueprints, can you take it without the stamp of the city? Is it worth anything? Can you go to the hospital and, you know, they write some paper and without the signature of a doctor, would it be worth anything? If you have a check that says $20 billion on it without the signature, is it worth anything? If any report you receive without God's stamp, it's not worth anything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You because as we were singing a few minutes ago, You are the giver of life. Lord, today we believe that You came to give us life this morning. You came to give us encouragement this morning. You came to tell us, do not be afraid, just believe. Today, Lord, we stand together and refuse any bad report that we are receiving. And we will choose to just focus on You and keep our eyes on You. We are today choosing, Lord, to listen to what You have to say. And Your words are always full of encouragement and faith and strength. And Lord, so we choose Your word today. We choose to stand on Your promises. We choose today to believe You, not to believe anyone else. Lord, we bring those who we love. We bring our children that the enemy is after. We bring them before You. And we pray for covering. We pray for protection. We pray for, Lord, breaking every chain. It's so hard out there for them. It's so hard because every place they go, people are not welcoming You. Lord, I pray that we would bring them to You where You are welcoming them. Lord, we need life from You. And we thank You because there is no impossible around You.